Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle general of John, the third chapter, 1 John chapter 3. And let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278. Thank you.
Before our scripture reading, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. From Scripture, we would like to read 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and we try to draw nigh unto thee again. For we are again gathered around thy word of truth, and without thee, and without thy Spirit's blessing, then it shall be unto us but a dead letter. But it is thy holy word. It is thy word of which thy church they will say, what a word is this, when they may be given to experience the power, and when they may be given to know the authority by which thou speakest through thy word. And therefore we begin by calling upon thy holy name to beseech thee for the application of thy Holy Spirit. For we have heard out of our confession that thou hast suffered, and that thou hast died, and that thou wast buried, and that thou descended into hell, but that thou hast risen also again from the dead, and thou hast ascended into heaven, and sittest on the right hand of power. And thou sayest, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, that it may also be the experience of each and every one of us. For we are by nature dead, and then we need to know the power of thy resurrection in the granting of a new life. We need to know the power of thy Holy Spirit, and that our souls may live, and that they may begin to hunger and to thirst, and that they may begin to yearn and to pant, as the hart panteth for the brooks of water. O thou knowest our deadness by nature and our panting after all that is here below. And then there is no one that is able to change the affections with which he was born, except that thou doest a mighty work. Lord, take us then each and every one by heart and by hand, and lead us unto thyself. Thou hast said unto thy people, and that thou wouldst commune with them from above the mercy seat. And then it was from that holy place, wherein thou didst look upon that blood that was applied unto that mercy seat. And so thou couldst show mercy unto thy people. And thou hast not changed from eternity, and thou changest not to eternity. And there is in thee no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thou wilt slay, thou wilt punish the wicked who turn not unto thee. And thou wilt have mercy upon those who repent of their iniquity. O Lord, wilt thou cause us then to come? And while it is a day of grace, and while it is a time of salvation, and when we are spared, each and every one of us, to continue on in our life, wilt thou remember those that mourn, supply for them in all the need when they must go on, and wilt thou grant unto them to know that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that thou thyself may be near unto them, also in this year that we have entered. Wilt thou look upon all the afflicted and the sick ones also, in the need that is experienced because of our sin? Wilt thou lead to thy footstool? And wilt thou give to experience something of that great physician's power? And that it may lead to thee for the need of their soul? Wilt thou look upon all those that bring thy word, whom thou hast called, whom thou hast sent forth, and that thou may bring thy word to the ends of the world amongst Jew and Gentile, that thou may remember the Jewish nation? Thou knowest the hatred that rises more and more in the midst of this world, so that the nations do gather round. Lord, and that thou thyself may deliver them. And may it be from that bondage wherein the veil is upon their eyes. And but thou art able to take it away. And then they shall be saved when they may turn unto the Lord. And that thou would do it then for the sake of thy great and holy name. And that we may receive also a prayer for them, as they are yet scattered even over the face of the whole world. And wilt thou remember all those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name, that is to be expected by thy church? For thou hast said, they have hated me, and they shall hate you. And they have persecuted me, and they shall persecute you. And we may live in yet a land of freedom, but that time that will come for us also, a great tribulation, when Satan is once again loosed. Oh, then how we need to be prepared with our children, and then so necessary, and that new life is given unto us, but also something of that blessed assurance whereby we shall be able to stand in that day. Oh, that thou may grant it unto thy people, a longing, and that thou may also grant unto them in the year that is to come, a further knowledge of thee, and advancing in the knowledge of that free and sovereign grace, that they may become less and less and nothing, that thou may become more and more and everything, and be with the theological school and the students and all those that labor therein, when they will begin their labors again, may thou be on their right and on their left hand. Be with the children in the school, the teachers, and all that labor, the bus drivers, when they begin again in the week to come. We ask of thee help, protection, and strength from above for all the many labors, and that the children may receive what is necessary to learn, that thou may help those who find it very difficult, and may thou give them in the days of their youth a place in their secret chamber to cry to thee for help, and that they may experience while they are yet young that the Lord, He is alive, and that He hears from heaven His dwelling place. Wilt thou grant love amongst our children, that they may love one another, and cause thy word to be sanctified and blessed. Help our teachers. Give them what is necessary to stand day by day before our children, to grant instruction and to set an example of godliness before our children, a reverence which may be they may be instructed in concerning thy word and all that is connected thereto, and a reverence for thee. Wilt thou thyself look upon the school board and those that administer? Wilt thou help them also in the labors of their hands? Remember all those that labor also in the midst of the churches, our church also. Those that that labor in the midst of our congregation, and the many duties that are performed, we ask of Thee that Thou may bless all the efforts and that are put forth, and that each one may be strengthened therein, and that continually all things may be done decently and in order. And wilt thou look upon our nation and all those that sit upon the judgment seats? And wilt thou bring thy word once again into the foreground in a public way? Remember the unborn, oh, that thou may spare their lives, for they cannot cry to thee. O Lord, we beseech thee for them, and that thou may remember them, for the sword that is pointed at them, oh, that thou thyself would deliver, and wilt thou put away the devices of the enemy, and wilt thou put to shame everyone that does fight against them, and wilt thou not look upon us as a nation according to our many sins. Oh, that thou may deliver us therefrom, and that we may turn again unto thee, to thy law and to thy testimonies, and that thy word may be kept, and that thy holy day may be sanctified, and that thy name also may be revered from the highest to the lowest. Look upon us also in this afternoon hour. We are to bring thy word once again. Lord, help us. Stand thou on our right and on our left hand. And could it please thee to show thyself among us this day, thy power and thy glory, that they may be seen in thy sanctuary. Wilt thou forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 6 and 7. Who is he that fears Jehovah, walking with him day by day? God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. We announce, the Lord willing, there will be a youth group meeting for our young people on Saturday, January the 10th, in the Lethbridge Church at 7:30 p.m. The catechism classes will begin, the Lord willing, also this after the service this afternoon and tomorrow evening. The last collection today is for our school, 415, stanzas 6 and 7. beloved congregation, how did Ben-Hadad approach Ahab after his army had been defeated? We read that he came unto him with sackcloth upon his loins and with ropes about their heads. That was an attitude of subjection. It was to make evident their attitude of humility. The publican's attitude in prayer to God was evident when he would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven. This attitude, this was taught by Christ to his disciples in the address of that prayer which he has instructed them in, and which we wish to consider together in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 46, questions 120 and 121. Lord's Day 46, question 120. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answer, that immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely that God is become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Question 121. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. So far, our Lord's Day, Christ teaches his people the appropriate attitude in prayer. First, a childlike reverence and confidence, which we find in question 120. And secondly, heavenly conceptions of God's majesty, which we find explained in question 121. Christ teaches his people the appropriate attitude in prayer. First, a childlike reverence and confidence. Secondly, heavenly conceptions of God's majesty. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Us. Who is that? That is his people. That is whom he has been speaking to. That was his own disciples. You say Judas was among them. That is true. Because there are always hypocrites, because there is always wheat to be found amongst the tares, but that does not mean that address that is given unto them. Because we do not invite our neighbor's children to call us Father, And Christ, he does not invite men to speak the lie. You say, may then an unconverted person use the Lord's Prayer. We ask you, may a person be unconverted. It is true that God is also the Father of every creature in this world by virtue of the creation. And there is a sense in which then that prayer and that address may be used by them. However, we must remember that this is not the actual and the full sense of this address as the Lord has given it unto his church. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answered that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely that God is become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Thus, that address that teaches us the foundation of prayer. It teaches us the basis for prayer. And what is that basis? That basis that is a new relation. The basis of prayer and to be able to ask the Lord that is founded on that relation that the Lord has given, which is now as a father and a son, is that the relation itself that is the basis or the foundation of that prayer? Or is it my knowledge of that relation, my assurance of that relation, which is the basis or the foundation of that prayer? That is not my knowledge of it, but it is the actual relation itself. Because a little child, he calls upon his father upon that same basis that an older child does, who has much more knowledge and insight into that relation between that father and that son. But that basis, that foundation, that is exactly the same. Thus, when does that relation begin? That relation begins in regeneration. When from the side of God, the Lord gives, he imputes everything that is necessary unto his own church. And then they begin to pray. Then they begin to pray actually for the first time in their life when they are born as a son. Even though they do not realize that they are a son, even though they would not be able, that when they would not dare, perhaps, to call God their Father. Is that a grief unto the Lord? when that people do not dare to call God their Father. We must be very careful, because it is very unnatural for an infant to be speaking and to be able to say Father. And thus there is a church that is a young church to whom it does not belong to that time of their life to be able to express themselves unto their Father, whom he now is, with such a confidence. Thus, that is not a grief unto the Lord, but indeed, when a child would grow up, and there would never come a time that that child would be able to say, Father, then we would say in this life that there is something wrong. And that would also be the grief of that father, that a child would not be feeling free to be able to express himself and to have also, by that knowledge, that childlike reverence and confidence that belongs to being a child. We have heard lately of the great benefits of receiving the knowledge of justification and of the adoption of children. We all agree that they are very precious benefits. We all also agree that they are benefits that are seldom experienced. Who of us is able to speak of those benefits? But we ask, is there now an urgency? Is there now a desire? Is there now a need in the heart of God's children that they may come to know those benefits? Or do they actually think that they are not attainable? That is the Roman Catholic doctrine that has said that man is not able to know his justification and the adoption of children. And why? Well, because then they may keep that church under their own power. Because you understand, we have heard that those benefits, they do give that people a great freedom. But it is not the desire of that church, that Roman Catholic Church, that people, they should desire freedom and receive freedom. But when there is in our heart not that desire, not that longing, that we may know for absolute sure whether we are his or not, does that not actually betray that we do not have that true saving faith at all? Because does not that true saving faith, does that not need, does that not go out, does not that long that it may know for itself and that it is well between God and my soul. How weak must be that childlike reverence, that childlike confidence in that church that does not know that they are a child. Maybe you say, how do we receive it? Well, we heard this morning that there are means to receive that regeneration. What is that, children? Means. You say that is the Word of God. And the same as there are means to receive that new birth, so there are means to receive the further benefits that are given unto the Lord, unto the church by the Lord. And what are those means? Well, then we need to go back once again to the Word. And the means to receive those benefits, they are found in self-examination. That is, that a man, he is making a comparison, and that he may look at what is now in the Word of God. When the Lord is laying out those marks who are His children and may now compare Himself with the marks that are laid out in His Word. Thus, we have read them, some of them, together out of 1 John 3. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Verse 14 we read, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Again, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Thus the Lord gives to His church marks. How is it then that the examination by those marks that is leading a person to the knowledge of that justification and also to that knowledge of his adoption of children? Is that then the work of addition? Is that sums that we say 1 plus 1 is 2, and that we can begin to count up? We would say it is rather the opposite. It is true that the knowledge of those marks, they cannot be missing. They concern a work which man, he is not able to give unto himself, and which is not in himself by nature. But in a practical way, when that church that begins to lay itself next to those marks, then what happens? Then indeed, then they are finding that there is so much for which that they have to weep. Paul, he says, there is a law in my members that is warring against the law of my mind. How long does it take if we are called into that process wherein a judge will judge our case? A court process that is a process that takes a long time. And when that people, they are summoned, then more and more, then it is a life not of increasing, but it is a life of decreasing. Until when? Until a man has to lose his life. Until a man, he comes into condemnation. Thus, that assurance that is rather in the embracings, of that justification that is in Christ Himself, and that has been spoken concerning Him in His justification by the Father. Thus Paul, he says, I know in whom I have believed. And he speaks about knowing the power of His resurrection. That is not only the resurrection of that new life, but that is also to know that power in our life. That is, we read, for the justification of His church. And now, in that justification, or maybe at least flowing out of that justification, is also that adoption. We have heard it. They are two distinct benefits, but they are two benefits that are so closely related that they cannot be separated from one another. And now what a privilege that a man may receive those benefits. Why? Because we are all aware of that childlike reverence and that childlike confidence whereby a child may approach unto his father. Or are we not aware of it? Or are our children not aware of it? How important is that relation between a father and a mother and their children? Why? Because that is a relation that the Lord is using to picture the relation between Himself and His children. Thus, our children, they must know what a childlike reverence is for his father, for his mother. How do we, as fathers and mothers, speak unto our children? Do we speak roughly unto our children? Then we teach our children by our speaking to speak roughly unto us. Is the way we speak to them discouraging to our children? How shall our children learn to know that childlike reverence that is given by to that true church unto the Father. And that childlike confidence, can our children approach unto us with a childlike confidence? Or are our children ridiculed because then they do not learn a childlike confidence? And how shall they know what our fathers and the scriptures speak of, what Christ teaches his children, what that relationship is, and how that they must approach unto the Lord? How important the upbringing of our children. Do those youngest ones in grace, do they ever approach with a childlike reverence and a childlike confidence to God as their Father? Certainly. Certainly. Why? Because we said it does, the basis is not lying in the knowledge of it. The basis is lying in that relation itself. Thus the Lord, in a very natural way, even as our children, they are coming in a very natural way with that childlike reverence and that childlike confidence. So the Lord is giving this in the heart even of the youngest ones in grace. There are even times that some of them, in the exercise of that true saving faith, may, in that inner chamber, say, Father. But our instructors, they are speaking here about exciting in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in, that is necessary also for those that are established. Why? Because though that state is firm, yet that condition in their life, that is not always good. What a help is this. That is the knowledge of that relation. What a help to what? That is a help that they may ask in faith. Nothing doubting. That is faith in the beneficence of God. Not because they deserve it, but because God is their Father. Thus that confidence that has nothing to do with merit, but that confidence has everything to do with that relation. Because it is very simple. Christ says, if a son asks bread of his father, will he give him a stone? Or, if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? That is not the way of that Father. What therefore a blessed pleading. A pleading in confidence. A pleading in faith. A pleading with hope. A pleading in expectation. A pleading upon a good foundation. A solid foundation. That is the foundation of a new relation. That is the delight of the Lord. That is the delight of a father to hear his child draw nigh to him in such a way. That is why Christ, he teaches his church to pray Our Father. Let us sing. 283, 2 and 3. Good is the Lord, and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is His grace to all that humbly seek Him, boundless and endless as the heavens above. 2 and 3 of 283. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from His almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Paul, he writes, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. What is that boldness? Because today we hear sometimes a boldness that makes us shudder. The man, he comes in a great casualness, in an attempt to draw nigh unto a holy and a righteous God, speaking to God no different than he is speaking, as it were, to his friends here on the earth. But that is not the boldness and that the Apostle Paul, he is speaking of. Christ, he indeed teaches his children to come with a childlike confidence. He teaches his children on the basis of that father-son relation to approach unto him in a childlike frame, and there is none more intimate with that father and that mother than those children. But immediately thereafter, the Lord, he adds this: our Father, which art in heaven. Why? Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty. Solomon says, be not rash with thy mouth, neither be hasty to utter anything before the Lord, because the Lord is in heaven and we are upon the earth, and therefore let thy words be few. If there are any that have the least conception of the heavenly majesty of the Lord, it is God's children. And even them, the Lord, he is admonishing, cautioning against forming earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, which art in heaven. That is an acknowledgement of the great contrast between God and us, because God is in heaven and we are upon the earth. Then the Lord would say, I am no idol God, as those gods that have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have hands, but they handle not. They have feet, but they walk not. No, he says, I am the God of the heavens and of the earth. I am the God who dwells between the cherubims. I am that God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And all the inhabitants of the earth, they are as grasshoppers. This, the Lord says, my people, when you begin to pray, then immediately you must have in you not earthly conceptions of my heavenly majesty. Why? He will have the wicked to know it, that they may fear and tremble. He will have his children to know it for another reason, that they may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. The Lord said to Abraham, I will surely return unto thee according to the time of life, and thy wife Sarah shall have a son. What did Sarah do? She laughed in her heart. Why? Earthly conceptions of his heavenly majesty. Abraham himself, he had long ceased praying. Why? Earthly conceptions of his heavenly majesty. the Lord came to Zacharias, and he brought unto him such a glad tidings. But earthly conceptions of his heavenly majesty. Were those earthly conceptions pleasing to the Lord? No. Therefore he was admonished. Therefore he was chastised by the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven. Do you understand it, congregation? Or what is now that perception that the Lord would have his people to be filled with? That is what he has said to Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is my arm shortened that it cannot save? Is my ear heavy that it cannot hear? What do you need? What do you need? Do you need food? You need drink? You need clothing? You need shelter? Do you not know how to do it? How to provide, fathers, for your family? Go on your knees. Our Father, which art in heaven. You say, I cannot do that. Because I am unconverted. Is that so? And why are you unconverted? You have no desire for this good God. Why are you unconverted? Because you desire to continue on in sin. How many times have you said in your life, I am unconverted, without blushing, and your face never became red? Because if you had to say, I have stolen, then you would blush with it. Or I have committed adultery, then you would blush with it. But when we say, I am unconverted, then we do not blush, as if it is not a shame, and as if somehow it is not our guilt, and if somehow that is now the fault of the Lord. You say, I cannot convert myself. Is that so? How do you know that? Have you never tried to do that? If that is so, then be careful. Then be careful to say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Because there is much in this world that assumes. But do you say, I cannot convert myself? Because you have experienced that you cannot convert yourself? After you have sighed unto the Lord, after you have cried unto the Lord, after you have sought Him in His Word,
and that you say, it is impossible. I cannot be converted. Then we say, go on your knees and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, who is able to deliver you from that bondage. You say, I think the Lord is now willing. It has been so long, and the Lord, He is silent unto me. There was a man in the Word of God. He could not even believe that the Lord was able. He said, Lord, if thou canst do anything, have mercy, have compassion on us, and help us. The Lord, He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What a turmoil was in the heart of that man. Can I believe it? That the Lord even can do it. And he looked at his son. And he could not say that he was a man of faith. And yet, that man, he did not dare to say that he did not believe it. But now that unbelief, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And now that man, he experienced something, two things. He experienced that the Lord was not able, only able to do it, but that the Lord was also willing to do it. O congregation, our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, what is that? That is, the Lord says, I am willing. I am willing. Because of that relation, which art in heaven, I am also able. Our Father, which art in heaven, O the Lord, give us to know it. Both in his ability and also in his willingness. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, how shall we draw nigh unto thee? Then there is no confidence so often because we live so far away. Because we live so in this world. Oh, that thou may remember thy people, and that thou may revive thy own work in the midst of the years. And wilt thou teach all of us, young and old, to pray, that thou may grant us this relation, as thou alone art able to do, to become unto us a Father, and that we may become thy sons and thy daughters. And wilt thou remember us when we leave thy house of prayer? It is the first Sabbath. Thy word has begun to go forth. We know not how many more we shall receive. Oh, spare thou our lives together, and bring us Sabbath after Sabbath in thy house. Grant us thy blessing on thy word, meditation, and also a digging, a searching. Oh, that we may live in that word, that we may live by that word, and that we may be given, each one of us, to know what that is to say. What a word is this, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 52:1-4. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd. Therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow. And when fainting, sweet refreshment dost bestow. 1:2-4 of Psalter 52.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.